Slash, and Interior Alaska by Jim Cruz, Chris Fettig, Roger Burnside, Nick Pizzuto, Mark Schultz, and Steve Nichol.
All right, so this is an effort to quantitatively capture some of the things we've been saying over the years about what our northern spruce and graver Ips beetles are doing to Slash, and why the state is or is not enforcing some of this stuff with loggers and some of the information we give to landowners about why beetles are in their trees and firewood and whatnot. So this is just a pretty nice study. This was a STEP, Special Technology Development Program grant to Chris Fettig. He's with the Pacific Southwest Research Station. Nick and I and Mark Schultz are with the USDA Forest Service. And Roger and Steve Nichol were with the State of Alaska Division of Forestry. All right, so Ips perturbatus is our one of our two tree-killing bark beetles in the state. Occurs across the range of white spruce. It's been found in some other spruces, but not as common. Across the boreal and Rocky Mountain spruce forests. So these are univoltine. Overwinter in the forest litter, dispersing in the spring. They produce an aggregation pheromone, brings in males and females. So the males go in and then produce this pheromone and bring in females and more males. And they mass attack trees to overwhelm the tree's defenses. These are common in areas around burn edges where fires and black spruce drop down to the ground against bordering white spruce forests. They also go into stressed spruce trees, flooding or droughty kinds of conditions, or blowdown or felling. So. All right, so feeding kills the phloem, and frequently results in tree mortality. When there's a lot of host material available, the populations erupt, and then most of the time, an outbreak tends to last only about 3 to 5 years. But it can be chronic in some areas, like near Delta and Tok, where it's always dry down in that area. And there's lots of disturbances, either wind or flooding, things like that. That photo in the upper left-hand side, that was taken at the edge of the 2004 boundary fire burn, and that's a white spruce near the edge. It's got a little bit of burnt roots around it, and you can see all that yellow dust. That's all boring dust from a mass attack. So that tree was alive for about 2 years after the fire, and they got to it eventually. This is a clear-cut area in preparation for the airport expansion at Manly Hot Springs. And they masticated all the small trees, the larger trees. Here's the airport, the new runway. The larger trees, they piled up like that. And so these kind of things are classic cases for trying to find out what the effect of these beetles are on the remainder trees, residual trees around the edge. So, the state, of course, interested in management, and this work that we did produced not only scientific papers, but these, we got a forest and insect and disease leaflet, which is more of an in-depth report, gray literature, if you will. And then also a brochure to put in folks' hands, landowners that were interested in what we're up to. So, some information.
And a paper that came out was the end of 2012 as a result of the 3 years. So, the Journal of Forest Ecology and Management.
Right, I think it was the first issue of 2013.
First issue of 2013.
Yeah. So there's, I believe, three studies related to this. I kind of don't have time to go into this too much, but you know, the papers are available and things, but did some various treatments here where we're stapling either repellents into the logs and things like that to see what the effects were of beetles coming to colonize that. So we record the entrance holes and the emergence holes. That's why there's two different colors of paint on the logs there. We check it shortly after the flight season to mark the entrance holes, and then we check it again in August to look at all the exit holes, and so we mark all those separately at different times of year. After we mark them, we put them exactly back in the same spot, so we mark the log so we know which is up, and then take a picture of it with all the numbers written on the edges of the log so that we know exactly how to put them back into the pile. So of course the untreated control is hit harder. That's one of the things we're looking at. So this chemical is effective for reducing beetle colonization in that slash. So here's just kind of an illustration of what we're doing with the numbered logs, and we put these on the pile so that people didn't come and take them away as firewood. All right, so the second study, a little bit more complicated statistically. We got lots of blocks. How many? 60 logs, which is probably 25 trees cut down to do this.
Yeah, we had 18 sites, and then we had four kind of like simulated decks.
Uh-huh.
Either flat on the ground or like a firewood deck, and then scored and unscored. So that's like four configurations. Then we had at each of those sites, we had 15 log deck of north, south, east, and west aspect from the center of the plot. So 60 logs per site, 18 sites, and two were untreated.
So that, I mean, it's actually 25 to 40 or so logs total.
There were 15. Yeah, we had 60
so,
logs.
Yeah, 16 each site, right? So there's three sites.
So that all aspects.
So that's what we're doing, some scoring. That was something that we had been recommending over the years, that the loggers score the decks, and it's taking a chainsaw, holding it perpendicular to the log, and running it down the log to destroy surface area of the bark. But as it turns out, and we'll get to that here shortly, the results, but. So again, looking at the attack and emergence holes, recording the densities, paying attention to aspect. You can see these are the three sites. You can see all the places where we had log piles and things.
So we had a site at Toke, Delta, and one at Fairbanks, kind of across the eastern interior.
Yeah, so actually there are higher attack densities on the scored logs, and it's probably because it increased plant volatile escape from the bark and things like that. Just they smell better, I guess. But it didn't have any effect on emergence rates. So in the third study, we had a different design here. We had scattered and we had stacked again. We had them inside the woods and out in the open. The scored and unscored. So. Pretty tired there down the bottom.
Yeah, that was another study.
So I guess you could say kind of as expected. we had more attacks and emergences on the tops of the logs compared to the bottom. Out in the open, it was warmer, so seemed to have more success on those. There's some microclimate issues with being in the woods and being in the wet moss on the inside the forest there where it's cooler. This is all in that paper. I can give folks a citation to look at. Saying shaded field brick is a little misleading. There's actually it's out of the deep dark woods, but it's still there's residual trees left in the area, so it is shaded, but it's not. It's warmer than being out into the middle of the woods, the uncut areas. So pretty pronounced difference there. So, like I mentioned, we're trying to inform what we've been saying, providing guidelines in our recommendations for management. And so some of what we're telling people, the lop and scatter technique probably isn't really good, especially out in the open where it's warmer and the beetles have access to a larger surface area of the log. So probably decking them and doesn't make much difference with scoring or not. It did have an effect, but it wasn't as pronounced as we'd have thought. So anyway, so we quit telling people to lop and scatter, basically.
Yeah, so basically building a log deck, and putting it in areas that are not out in the open. In our environment, we have a shorter period of warmer weather, but overall in the flight period, it's relatively cooler in the forest compared to the open air. So that's basically, build a firewood deck and do not scatter your logs. It's not going to pay to dry the canopy in place for it. It just isn't time or cost effective.
And since we're on the edge of the, edge of the world, we're way up north and things like that. This DeGomez article took place in Arizona. So moving our logs out into the open to expose them to sunlight and warmth is actually better for the beetles. Whereas, as you can imagine in Arizona, that would dry them out and drive them around to the bottoms of the logs and things like that. So that's... I just thought I'd point that out since it looks like our results are direct opposite results of the other folks. It's because it's a very different habitat that study was done. So to tag on to that, this basically, just because you see some result from a study conducted elsewhere in the U.S., it's important to repeat some of these things in Alaska because it is a different environment here. And so we just need to confirm that, because basically what we're telling them was based on results from the south, which actually the result was opposite of what was intended by doing that same exact practice up here. The one that worked down there didn't work up here. Same practice, so it's important to verify these things in your local environment. So. Okay, so then, big list of recommendations and things. All right, so we had lots of cooperators on this, including the landowners and the biologists in charge of the land that we accessed. Lots of folks over the years. This was a 3-year study. So those are the publications that are either referenced or directly came out of this work. So.
but that slash just doesn't have value, it's just too small.
Typically, it's, yeah, the tops of trees and things like that. What they frequently do is once they load all the logs onto the truck, they just take a chainsaw and cut it off, cut everything off, you know, so it's not sticking out too far off the back of the truck. So they'll take a puncher and they'll put them onto the truck and just cut all the tops off. So sometimes that stuff's pretty big. Anything under, anything down maybe 3 inches or so is still attractive to beetles. So, okay, that's that one. Go right in. Any questions on that? That was a pretty heavy management one, so I'm going to go into, this might be a little more fun.
Real quick, so, an infestation in a deck of logs makes the surrounding live trees vulnerable.
Right. Yes. It's important, especially if you're stacking firewood and stuff, to try to process that stuff and not stack just wood up against trees in the yard and things like that. There's been several times where I've gone to somebody's house to help them out with the problem they're having with beetles. And frequently, they'll have a tree that died, so they'll cut it down. Take their time kind of lopping it up, and they'll stack it up, and then the tree next to that will die, and then they'll cut that one down, do the same thing, and they end up chasing these things all around their yard, and then they're like, well, I used to have 10 acres of spruce, and now I've only got like 2 acres of that. So yeah, this kind of thing will help inform folks on how to store, how to deal with these.
And avoid pinning during the field fight period. Don't cut any fresh slash between snow melt and 4th of July. We found that lesson at Manly where they widened the airport 140 acre. They basically cleared and masticated. And they decked the big stuff, like we told them to, but they did it like early spring. Masticated all the small stuff, you know, just driving this heavy equipment over it, you know, it was all over the 100+ acres, and it just drew Ibsen from, you know, half mile around. Big edge effect, you know, around the areas of pure spruce. 60, the chain into the stand, you know, everything was just pretty much like a swath of dead attack trees from all that attractive source. So,
yeah, and speaking of that, I wish I'd have thrown a couple pictures of that particular thing in here. Yeah, I almost forgot about that this year. So we had them move that gigantic deck of trees over and then basically tarp the ground because they overwinter in the duff. So we just had them tarp that with a pretty thick.
Two layers of 6 mil, I think, 12 mil.
Yeah, yeah. Held down with logs over winter, and then in the springtime, we put up traps to monitor, baited them, try to pull beetles out of the woods. And as it turned out, most of the studies that have been done using that this cleaner, tarps and whatnot, have been over log decks themselves, and variable results, as you can imagine. They find holes, or there's holes torn, or the larger beetles, like Dendroctonus, can just chew right through that stuff. But hips, not as successful chewing through it, but they can always find ways out. So we had this double tarp so that they couldn't find a way out. And the idea wasn't necessarily to kill them. We actually thought they could probably get out of there, but we were trying to disrupt them, either create a situation where it was too moist, where they're overwintering, that they'd be combating mold and things like that, or to throw them their seasonality off, because that would be warmer and they would come out too soon before, you know, when it's still too cold and snowy really to do much. But as it turned out, that it became a pretty significant physical barrier for the beetles. It pulled some of the tarp back, and there's dead beetles all over underneath them. So that's kind of neat. And we didn't get much in those monitoring traps, which was kind of a surprise because of the number of dead trees in the